Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM in South Kent and East Sussex. Freeview 277 and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the other one's done a runner. My co-host of usual times, Jill Serkin, has a birthday on Friday and she's been whisked away to Spain. So we're now suffering a catalogue of photographs of food and drink from her breakfast, lunch and dinner in Spain. And it's just me hosting. But luckily, I have two fantastic guests in the studio today. The absolutely delightful Gemma Fairclough-Haynes and Loretta Wright. And I've just blagged Gemma into helping me. So Gemma's going to help me today as well as being a fantastic guest. So thank you, Gemma.
You're welcome.
And do get in touch. All those listeners out there, if you want to shout out, please use the hashtag BBunker. Tweet me at VanillaWeb if you want to tell us anything about what you're up to or what you're doing, and we'll happily read them out. We've had quite a few tweets already. We've got some emails and PRs and events that are going on that we'll share with you during the course of the show. But I was just saying to Gemma just before we went on air, I saw some pictures of a family event she did at the weekend, which was a bit of anti-gravity flying. So what do they call it? What do they actually call it?
They call it a skydive. So this is at Bluewater,
right.
So not too far for our Kent listeners.
Right.
And I can't remember what they're called. Oh, Hang Loose or something like that.
Right.
Which gives you the idea.
Right.
So they've got I think it's one of the only outdoor skydive simulators where the air's blowing you up in the wind is blowing you up in the air and you feel like you're flying.
Wow.
Yeah. So the family, not I, because I'm a feet on the ground kind of girl.
Yeah.
I've got 6 inches high in heels, but that's about it. So the other thing we did was the giant swing, which is the tallest swing in Europe.
Blimey.
Ooh, yeah.
Did you go on that?
No.
Of course you didn't.
No,
I wouldn't either. I don't blame you.
Yeah, 22 floors high.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's a swing.
It's a swing.
Blimey.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like to. When I was a kid on the swing, you used to dismount, didn't you? Yeah, when it was full, you jump off. I wouldn't jump off a 22-story one.
Strapped in. You're well and truly strapped in. But I think it's quite good, actually, that we've got all of these things fairly locally.
Did Kimmy enjoy it?
Yeah, she did. My daughter did enjoy it, but she has now declared she's independent because she's no longer following her parents' instructions. She thinks we're trying to kill her. So she had an epiphany on the swing. Why am I doing this? My parents made me do this.
Oh, nice one. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's lovely to see you both. Thank you for joining us on the show. I've had a few tweets. Let me read a couple of tweets. Michael Park Surveyors, who the commercial property specialist based over in Medway, have said hello and they're looking forward to listening to the Business Bunker Show today. I don't know about you, Twitter's starting to annoy me these days. There's more and more idiots on Twitter every day, it seems. And I've spent the last 4 days arguing with people about nothing in particular. Yeah, people seem to want to get hold of the wrong end of the stick with everything you put. It's like, I put a tweet out earlier. Somebody, you know, Martin Lewis, the money supermarket guy,
yeah.
He's got a poll that says, are you in favour of building new houses or not? And I said, I don't mind building new houses, but you need, before you build the houses, you have to build the infrastructure to go with them, schools, hospitals, doctors. The amount of people arguing me about that,
yeah.
It's unbelievable. Well, yeah.
No, but you are, I mean, a death. To say it, but you're right.
Thank you. That's all I needed. And she's a lawyer, so she knows what she's talking about. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Listen to Gemma. I'm right. I was also explaining to Loretta before we were on air about schools and in the break, I'll update you on where we are with that, Gemma, because that got really stupid yesterday.
Oh, right. Okay.
Cool. Okay, yeah, so let me see who else we've got. I've had a few things. I'm going to have a little bit of a boast myself now. I've got a new co-working space due to open very shortly in Sheerness, and even though I say it myself, it is the most stunning building I've ever seen. It's cathedral-like, and it would be because it's a church, but it's a massive church, and it's been refurbished, not by me, it's been refurbished by the Dockyards Preservation Trust, and they spent £8 million wow. refurbishing it, and then they've given it to me.
That's nice.
It's lovely of them, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm going to run it as a co-working space, a startup incubator, and an event space, and we were finally allowed to put proper pictures of it up this week because they've been. We've got a big opening scheduled with you know loads of celebrities and hoi polloi and all that kind of stuff and royalty apparently, and they didn't want to photographs put up too soon, which makes it incredibly difficult to sell when you can't show people what it looks like. So I put up the first photographs a couple of days ago, and I've been getting a lot of feedback on it because it is stunning. It is an absolutely stunning place. But I can assure you, when we are about to open, you'll all get an invite to a little launch party. Because although it's a bit of a... If you don't live in that area, it's difficult to get to. Well, it's not difficult to get to, but it's just a bit out of the way, the Isle of Sheppey. But I can assure you it's worth the visit to see that place because it is unbelievable. Anyway, Tracy Ferguson was saying, I want to come and see it. And she says, I noticed you've got a coffee shop there. Is it open to the public? When we built it, it will be. we are actually in the process of building it at the moment. But, well, the shop is actually built, but we're just putting the coffee machines in and everything. So, yes, but the coffee shop and eatery will be open to the public. It's called Island Works, and it's at the Dockyard Church, which is at the entrance to Sheerness Docks on the Isle of Sheppey. So we'll let you know when it's open, and you can all come over and have a wander around.
That's exciting. So what size businesses is that for?
It's basically a co-working space. So it's anybody, normally it's small businesses, contractors, freelancers that normally operate in co-working space. But we have, we're working in conjunction with the Kent Foundation.
The young entrepreneurs
and startups. So we've got them based there with us, and we're doing a startup incubator. So you don't have to take office space to use that. You can just come in and get mentoring, advice, support. Yeah, and then if you do set up your business, then you know you can set it up there and be there if you want to, but you don't have to. So yeah. So it's all exciting stuff, and we're really looking forward to it being opened. I was over there yesterday. Oh, I tell you, what a nightmare. The last 2 weeks have been an absolute nightmare going anywhere in Kent.
Yeah.
Every blooming road I've gone down is closed. I left home yesterday to drive from Tenterton to Sheerness, which is normally a 45-minute drive. 2 hours and 20 minutes later,
oh my goodness.
I'm still not there. I've damaged my car.
Potholes.
It wasn't a pothole this time, Larissa. It was my sat-nav, because the roads were closed, they were taking you down those little lanes. And it took me down this lane that had one of those things that somebody's put in that narrows the road. And they used two railway tracks to do it, metal railway tracks. And my car didn't quite fit.
Oh, dear.
But by the time I was in it, I couldn't get out of it. And I had
to keep on going.
And it made a real grinding noise as I went through. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I did see a tweet from Chips and Dinks.
yeah, they were on the ball straight away, weren't they? Yeah, and funnily enough, it's come up here now. But they actually were just talking about the Business Bunker show here. Chips and Dinks are Bev and Tony, lovely folks that mend my cars when we break them. But they do lots of other things as well, Chips and Dinks. They recycle lots of things. And Tony's just about to launch a new business venture as part of Chips and Dinks. I don't know if I'm allowed to tell you, but I'm going to anyway. And then he can tell me off after that. He's got the franchise for delivering... sorry if I missell this for you, Tony. I'm sure you'll poke me in the eye when you come see me. It's disinfecting buildings. You know, so basically it's a regular spray that you come and spray a building and clean a building and disinfect it to clear it of germs and COVID and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So they're doing that too. But you're quite right. They normally fix my alloys. and the dinks and dents and wings and bings in my car. But Chips and Dinks have said, it's the Business Bunker Show. You should definitely not miss it. But if you do, it's worth catching up again later. Always great to hear from Gemma on employment law advice and to hear about the Life M mags with Loretta. They do say that Jules Serkin will be at the helm, but she won't. She's not here. She's in Spain. So sorry about that. But it will be a better show for that.
Aww.
Did I just say that?
Yeah. She'll have your guts for garters next week.
She's away for 2 weeks as well. Yeah. Life in Cash have tweeted. What do they do? Let's have a look. A private life and legacy planning platform, helping you to get organised and make the most of every day. Okay, interesting. So thank you for that. They're just tweeting that they're listening. Hello, Life in Cash. Have a look. And Sarah Marsh Collins, Loretta of Life in Mags is a great guest to listen to. She's such a wonderful, positive person. Do love a bit of employment law. Yes, I really do.
Yeah, I read that tweet and I thought, says no one ever.
I
mean, yeah.
Well, she says,
who are you? Digital marketing.
She says she's looking forward to hearing the latest from Gemma. So, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those funny things, isn't it? Again, I don't know. I don't suppose you bother to get involved in it, Gemma, really, but I, for some reason, I'm always getting sucked into this, but arguing with idiots on Twitter about stuff. And it's always nice to know someone that is truly an expert in their field, such as yourself, because I can always ring you and go, I'm in the middle of an argument. Is it true that you have to do X, Y, and Z? And she'll go, well, not exactly, no. And I go, okay, I'll stop arguing then.
It is good to know. I'm only joking. I do enjoy learning and delivering information about employment law. It's the fastest changing law in the UK.
Absolutely. And of course, it's one of those things that affects everybody all the time.
It does.
Almost, you know. As long as you're at work, there's some effect on you somewhere down the line. And it's also one of those things that... and we'll talk about this later, I guess, Gemma, but yeah. It's also one of those things that you do get a lot of barrack room lawyers about as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people who go, oh, well, I'm not having that, you know, they've got to give us 58 days holiday, mate, otherwise, you know...
Yeah. I get like, can you do that? I go, yeah. They go, what?
I don't want to give it away because it wouldn't be fair, but I was talking to someone a couple of months ago who out of the blue just contacted me and said, look, I've got a problem at work, can you sort it out for me? Why? No. I've got X, Y, Z and they don't want me to do this. I was talking to him for ages and he kept moaning and moaning and moaning about this employer, but it turned out he didn't even work for them.
Yeah.
I'm going, but you don't work for them, you're not an employee. Yeah. Well, then it's a completely different scenario, isn't it? You're contracted to them because you've got you've written a contract to provide your services to them. You're not an employee, so you can't demand that they do that because well, it's not fair. Really. Anyway, enough of that. So let me see what else I've got. Oh, yeah, I wanted to do this. I've done this a couple of times, but it is a really worthy cause, and therefore I want to read it again. It's an organisation called CARM, C-A-R-M, and they're a local charity based on Romney Marsh. And CARM stands for Caring All Together on Romney Marsh, and they're a charity that support lonely people.
Lovely.
Yeah, so people that live on their own or can't get out very often, and strangely for the south of England, Romney Marsh is a fairly desolate area in places, and it can be quite remote and rural. You know, a lot of sheep and wet fields, and there's no public transport infrastructure on the marsh at all. So if you don't drive, you know, if you're an old person or whatever and you don't drive anymore or you can't afford a car, you're fairly much isolated. Yeah. So CARM have volunteers that help try to ease the loneliness by being there for people. Now, it's not a paid gig, but they will pay expenses and they will provide training and they will provide support, and they're looking for more volunteers that can help. They say it's a local charity making a difference to the lives of lonely people. If you think you can help by volunteering, please get in touch by calling us on 01233 758 122. That's 01233 758 122. Or you can email them at office@carm.org.uk. If you think you'd like to be able to help them with some volunteering, looking after lonely people, please get in touch. It's a fantastic thing to do.
It's a lovely thing. There's some other things going on in the Marsh. Can I talk about them?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so we've got the Marsh Network Business Meeting. So I've got new braces in, so if I've got a little bit of that'll be why. So that is at the Ship Inn, which is 118 High Street, Dimchurch, on May the 25th, which was that Thursday? Thursday. Yeah. 7:45 a.m. to 9:15 a.m. So I think if you're local, that'd be okay. But for someone like me, who isn't really that early anyway, getting there is going to be a bit tricky. But I think it'd be a good one.
I'm really bad at doing breakfast stuff. I can't get up in time. I really can't.
You're not an early bird.
I'm really not. Not these days. Once upon a time, I used to be. But I'm really not these days.
Although I
rang my mum earlier before I came. I look after my mum. She's 94. She's got early onset dementia, but she lives on her own. And I look after her normally, but I can't do Tuesdays, obviously, because I'm on the radio. So I always ring her on a Tuesday, just make sure she's okay. But I've got a CCTV camera, okay, which alarms when she does anything. Anyway, I rang her on the way to the studio, and I said, "You got up early this morning. How do you know?" I could see you on the camera. You got up at 6:15 and had your breakfast. Well, what were you doing up at 6:15? I said, I wasn't up at 6:15. When you got up, my phone went off because the CCTV sets off an alarm. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
I wasn't meant to be, but I am now.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Yeah. I've had a tweet from the lovely Lynn Roseman from Now You're Talking. She says, I'd love a Business Bunker shout out on the... she says, I've got curios from the care home, original real-life stories of growing up in a care home. Let me see if I can find some more detail about this. And that's all she says at the moment. So I think it's an... Lynn does powerful presentations where she tells stories about things. Now You're Talking. And it seems that she has a new program that she's doing, Curios from the Care Home. The easiest thing is to follow her on Twitter, and her Twitter handle is Lynn, L-Y-N, Roseman, R-O-S-E-A-M-A-N, Roseman. Lynn Roseman, all one word, as it were, on Twitter. Give her a follow. Find out what that's all about. Right, what else have I got?
Well, since you're not a morning person, if you fancy a bit of getting to know people, there is a coffee morning at Kenwood. It's a monthly Kenwood Coffee Morning, so I'll tell you about Kenwood House because I happen to know a little bit about it. It's a brilliant charity which helps people who are trying to manage substance addiction.
Yep.
And it is a beautiful setting. If you've never been there, I highly recommend going. And I think we've been there for a couple of business fairs before. It's absolutely beautiful and peaceful. They're going to be giving cakes and savoury. That they know how to get the people in. Mm-hmm. Cakes is definitely one. The next one is also on Thursday, 25th of May, but it's 10:30 till 3 p.m. No need to book. Just turn up. It's Kenwood Trust, Kenwood Road. Just in case you didn't know, it was Kenwood. Yolding, ME18 6AH.
Fantastic. Yep, and that takes place on the last Thursday of every month. So do get along to it if you can. As Gemma said, it's a fantastic place. It's a Georgian country house. There's a huge. I can't remember how many acres. I'm a trustee of the charity. I can't remember how many acres of ground we got, but we got llamas and we got goats and we got all kinds. We got archery. We got disc golf. We got all kinds of stuff there. And it's always just pleasant when the weather's nice to walk around the grounds. Yeah. It's very quiet and peaceful. So do get down. Have coffee and cake at the very least, and then walk it off. while we're talking about events, Western Wednesday. We hope you can join us on June the 14th for our next meeting for Western Focus Businesses, and it's taking place at Squarey's Winery.
Oh, I like it there.
Yeah.
Well, it's not really surprising.
Tracy Taylor will be talking about her new company, which is Tailored Financial Therapy. Interesting. Taking place on June the 14th, 10:30 till lunchtime, 12 o'clock. If you want to find out about it, if you go to campusradio.co.uk/calendar, there's full details on the event and a link to book your place.
So Squarey's have got like champagne. They can't call it champagne because it's not made in
it's
champagne.
Sparkling
but it's
wine.
Sparkling, but it rivals champagne because we're getting so much sun now, aren't we, in Kent?
They won a couple of awards. I have a fantastic photograph of Jules at an event we went to in Squarey's about 8 years ago. And you know what Jules is like with her drink, yeah? We were the last ones there, and they'd locked the gate, yeah, to get out. So I don't drink, so I was fine. I climbed over the gate, and when I turned around to look behind me, Jules is halfway over a five-bar gate, and she had a glass of sparkling wine in each hand, and she was desperately trying to climb a gate without spilling any of the wine. So, being the gentleman that I am, I just took photographs and laughed.
I would have done the same.
I'm sure she didn't spill a drop.
Oh, she didn't. There's sure no she way. She'd have fallen on her head first before she'd spilled any of it. Right, do you know what we're going to do now? Cheeky tunage. Cheeky tunage, eh? Now, this is a bit obscure, but hey. Anyone know what that is? It's Life in the Fast Lane. The Eagles.
He had a massive Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk.
Does your business have great customer service? Are you a successful small or large business? Are you creative or innovative? Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout them out. So what's stopping you? Enter the Kent Business Awards now. Get your easy-to-complete application form from businessawardskent.co.uk.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Hey, that was the Eagles, Life in the Fast Lane. Do you see what I did there? Yeah, it's real cheesy, that, isn't it?
Very clever.
Yeah, because our next guest is the lovely Loretta Wright, and Loretta is from Life in the Fast Lane. No, Life in Magazines.
I wish it was Life in the Fast Lane.
Does it feel like the Fast Lane sometimes?
It really does. Yeah.
Loretta, welcome to the Business Bunker Show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
And it's an absolute pleasure. I have to say, I met Loretta for the first time, was it last week? Was it only last week?
It
was only last week, wasn't it? Where Loretta kindly supported me at one of my 30-30 Schools Careers events at the Waterslade Girls School and the Green Acres Boys Academy for next door. What a fun day that was.
What an amazing experience, yeah. First and foremost. Absolutely loved it. The students were brilliant. It was just felt so good to, you know, impart a little bit of knowledge and feeling like you were helping them.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Really well organised. Well done, you.
I have to say, one of the things that struck me about it was I was really blown away by how good the students were.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I was saying to, I can't remember who, actually, I was probably my partner Amanda, I was saying to, when you look at schools, and you know, I visit a lot of schools because I do a lot of these, and we're also looking for schools for our daughter at the moment and stuff like that, you tend to look at the buildings and things, and the buildings there were a bit scruffy, weren't they, at Waterslade? No other way of describing it. It was a fairly scruffy place in the middle of Chatham, really. But what struck me was the pupils.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, they were so engaged, they were so polite, they were so involved in what was going on. I've actually had a couple. Joe, I hope you got on okay with it. I had a couple of them contacted me afterwards, and one of them, he wants to work in microbiology, and I just happen to know, as you do, a microbiologist, so I've put them in touch.
Amazing.
His emails are brilliant. He's so polite and so grateful for the help and all the rest of it. And I just love that. It shows you that the school has something.
Absolutely.
Yeah, outside of what the buildings look like. It's about the ethos and about the pupils and how they behave. Yeah. So thank you for that. And it was wonderful to meet you at that, Loretta. And unfortunately, now I've got your details, so I'm going to bombard you with everyone we ever do of those.
Absolutely. I'm going to come back. No, it struck me as well with the students, how many of them actually knew what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
At that age, I didn't have a focus.
I'm nearly 70 and I still don't know what I want to do, which is why I'm all over the place. It's interesting, isn't it? Because quite often, unsurprisingly, you know, when we go into schools, a lot of them don't really know. Or if they do, they have kind of, I don't want to be mean here, but they have kind of silly things, you know, like they want to be a footballer or they want to be a
YouTuber, famous.
YouTubers is the big one. I'm going to earn £1 million. Doing what? Playing games on YouTube, okay? Right, it's been done, that. Because, of course, Gemma has, we will talk to you in a minute, Loretta, but Gemma has a budding entrepreneur in her family, her daughter.
She steals all the limelight, that girl.
Absolutely.
She's fantastic. She's been a guest, hasn't she?
She has. She's been a guest on the show at age 12.
She's 13 now, but she started her business at 12. She's in profit, still not paying me. Not that I'm, you know, grumbling about it or anything, but Kimmy Crochets, follow on Instagram. Crochets and sells items.
Fantastic. Right, Loretta, let's talk about you.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about Loretta first, and then we'll go on to talk about the Life in Magazine business.
Okay, well, I live in Bromley. live with my husband, two kids, 18 and 15, two cats.
That's young for your husband.
Yeah. And I am a journalist. So, yeah, right. That's what I do for a living.
Okay. Is that all? Okay, I didn't know that. Right. So, obviously you are now, but yeah.
No, I always have been.
You always have been a journalist.
I always have been.
And just for... interest sake as much as anything else. I mean, your journalism, have you worked for newspapers, magazines, freelance or staff?
Yeah, so I started back way back when. So actually let's rewind to uni. I started a student magazine aptly named Inmate, and it got picked up by the the halls of residence and the student union. And eventually one of the bigger student magazines approached me and said, do I want to come and do work experience with them? They thought I was quite innovative, launching my own little halls magazine. I used to interview anyone from the cleaner to the people who nick the food out of the fridge. You know, you used to put little marks on the
door
and stuff
like
that. So, but I didn't realise then that that's what I wanted to do.
Were you reading English at university?
No. I was doing human geography, of all things.
Oh, you would do, yeah.
And, went travelling. So, actually, straight after that, I went into the world of travel because I absolutely love travel. Do. Do you remember Sunworld, part of Thomas
Cook? Yes, I do, yeah.
So I worked for Sunworld straight after uni. At that contract administrator. I worked for them for a year.
Didn't they do cruises or something?
Yeah, they did. Well, mainly they were tour operators, they had different sort of under the Thomas Cook group, you had different components that did Sunworld group was predominantly tour operating. Saved a year, went travelling, loved it, thought, right, travel is what I want to do, and I work in travel. Came back, tried to get a job then in travel, couldn't do it. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to try and get a journalist job in travel. You know, I love writing, I love travel, mix the two together.
I like your thinking,
but I did it. I mean, it was a tough gig. Getting into journalism was really tough, very, very competitive. And what I ended up working in was the fire export and security trade magazines, like dull as ditch water. No interest in it, but that's where I got my experience, and I worked up from editorial assistant to assistant editor to editor, and then I thought, right, I've gone as far as I can now, I'm going to try and work for a travel magazine, and then I did, and I stayed there for, I think it was over, well, in total about 17 years.
It's funny, isn't it? It just shows you how people that have a passion for something, but it can be quite hard to kind of get into. And then people like me that hate it, I'm a massive reader. I read hundreds of books. I will read two or three books a week, but I hate writing.
Yeah.
And years ago, people kept giving me writing gigs. I had a weekly column in a magazine, an IT magazine. I had a weekly column in a personnel magazine that people insisted on paying me to do. I was terrible at it, and I hated every minute of it because it was a risk. They go 1,500 words by Friday, and I go, can I send one word a day? And I hated it. I just don't like writing. I like talking. I don't like writing.
I love reading, but it's funny because, you know, when most of us, when we go on holiday, what do we love doing? Opening the book and reading.
Yeah.
No.
That bit of a busman's holiday for you.
It kind of is. I read every day, so when I get home of an evening, I just want to flop on the sofa and stare at the TV, comatose. You know, that's my switching off, just staring at another screen. Right. So
you had a career of 17 years working as a travel journalist and editor.
Yep, so that was in the travel trade. And then I did a bit of blogging on the side. Naturally, my blog was about travel and home, because I like interior.
So it wasn't about fire security systems.
No, my export and security. No. Although, having said that, when I was doing the fire, it was called the Fire Manager's Guide or something to that effect. I can't remember. It was that long ago. But I did end up interviewing HEMS, the Helicopter Emergency Medical Service.
Ah.
So the men in their lovely, you know, medical gear. So there were some perks of the job.
So you had this career in journalism and editing and a lot of experience. Tell us a bit about launching your own business.
I'm a fan of the written word, obviously, and I saw a gap in the market where I live locally with a friend at the time. She was doing the graphic design, and we you know, you get local magazines through your letterbox, and they are just, you know, full of adverts. Not to disparage them, because there's, you know, there's
a place for them.
Yeah, exactly. But I was finding that they were going straight in the recycle bin. Magazines full of advertising didn't do it for me, so I spotted a gap. I thought, you know what? Where's all the positive stuff? Where are the What's On events? Where are the celebrations of local heroes? And I thought, there's got to be something that people actually, you know, like reading. I'm relatively young. I would say I'm not that young, but I'm not that old either. But I like something tangible. So I love holding, feeling, touching, smelling, you know, magazines. And they've had a bit of a resurgence, which I think we're going to talk about later, along with records, you know, they have as well. And I just think, you know, there is a chance for people to switch off and read a magazine, and they want to actually engage with it, find it inspiring, you know, just happy. So that's why I thought, I'm going to launch a magazine, and I'm going to make it full of editorial as much as I can.
Right.
And I still stand by that. So half of the magazine is dedicated to editorial, and half is to adverts, and I won't go above that. I'm cutting off my nose to spite my face in terms of earning, but I know that magazine, people love to read. So I've got a very loyal readership, which is amazing.
Okay. I want to ask you lots of questions there. I think the interesting thing, and you made reference to it yourself where you did a bit of blogging. Increasingly, the trend for print media, both newspapers and magazines, is downward. Yeah. Having said that, I don't know why, some time ago, I do remember why, but I won't talk about it. I was involved a little bit in looking at the magazine marketplace. And I found the best-selling magazine in Europe by a million miles was Carp World.
Carp as in fish?
As in fish, yeah. It was a fishing magazine.
Okay.
Because I don't know if you know, fishing is the biggest sport in the world in terms of the amount of people that practice it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wow. Bizarrely, I didn't know it either, but according to Carp World, it is.
You're going to be my Who Wants to Be a Millionaire friend, you are.
as long as they've got carp fishing on there, that's it, we're home and dry. Funnily enough, I did an interview with the Daily Telegraph yesterday about something, and I quoted a statistic, and she stopped the interview. She went, "How on earth did you know that?" And I went, "Oh, just a statistic, one. Just ignore me. Either that or I made it up." but the trend for print media has been downwards. Yeah, the newspaper circulation has been dropping alarmingly, and most of the big newspaper groups like the Mail and the Sun and the Guardian make most of their money online now with their online digital offerings. But it is interesting, isn't it, that even with local papers, you know. They've kind of lost the plot a bit because there aren't actually many local papers. They've all been bought out by bigger groups, and therefore the amount of local actual news is pretty low.
Yeah.
But magazines like yours seem to have a new life. And I'm trying to get what that is, because, I mean, some people go, yeah, well, that's old people, isn't it? You know.
No, I think it's because it is local, isn't it?
I think you're right.
And, you know, I think by nature, although it's great that the world is so much smaller, we do like people that we can see and touch, or somebody's heard of, or, you know, your neighbour's aunt, or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, having those good stories, and it's having the good stories as well, I think one of the reasons why some of the larger papers are struggling is it's all bad news, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, do you know, it's one way or another, I was talking to people that ran local newspapers in Kent, and they had a problem because newspaper income is from advertising.
Correct.
And most newspapers, especially local ones, their advertising was jobs, houses, cars, in that order. Well, of course, all of those have gone online, so they don't make much money out of that. But talking about readership, the biggest part of the readership is exactly as you were saying, Gemma, when they reported on local sports stories, because then, you know, your nephew would ring and go, "I'm in the paper this week because we won a game, 7-1 on Saturday," and, you know... So they are good news stories about things that have happened that have a meaning to the local people that are reading them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we do that with things like pets. People love their animals. Yeah. They love their pets. They get so excited when they see them in the magazine, you know, they send them in. But that literally is it. Happy, inspiring. I don't do any slanderous news. you know, happy-go-lucky sort of person anyway. Yeah. So I just thought, let's spread a little cheer, you know, let's inject a little positivity into the local community and encourage people to shop local.
Yeah. We have a magazine locally that's been going quite a few years and it is still incredibly popular. It's called The Wealden Advertiser. But it is solidly advertising. There is no editorial, unless it's advertorial. Mm. But everybody, it's a free one as well. And every time you go to the shops, the Indian Takeaway, where they've always got copies of it. But again, it's very popular. But so what I want to ask you about Life In, and your magazine covers the Bromley, South Kent area, doesn't it?
Yeah, so we've got Life In Orpington, which was our first magazine launched 4 years ago, and a year ago we launched Life In Bromley.
Okay, so you've got two magazines.
Two, with a third coming next year.
Can we know what the third one is?
Begins with B.
Life in Edinburgh.
Birmingham.
She's from Dudley, don't you know?
I'm from Wolverhampton, actually.
Wolverhampton. I can't do Wolverhampton though, so she has to be from Dudley. What I want to focus on now, Larissa, if I may, is the journalism of the magazine.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you write all the stories?
That is the perk of my job. That's why I do it, because I'm writing.
Right. So, I'm fascinated by this. Do you walk around with a hat that says press and launch yourself on people and go, can I just take a story?
I'm a bit shy, you might have guessed. I'm actually a little bit shy, so no. That's why I have a great team, a small team around me, who kind of tries to encourage me to be more on social media. Because although we have the magazines, I'm not ignoring digital. We are digital and on digital as well, and also obviously on social media, but no, I don't.
So how do you source your stories? How do you go about writing them up? Give us an insight into the work of a local journalist on a regional magazine, if you like.
It's funny because when I interview people for, you know, we do like local hero pages and 5 minutes with, and I ask the question, what's your typical day? And nearly all the time they say, oh, there's not a typical day. And it's true, the same with me, there isn't a typical day. In terms of sourcing stories, I've noticed you've got your press releases here, so I also get lots and lots of press releases. I sometimes take inspiration from friends, from TV, from articles myself. A few weeks ago, I was in WH with my daughter at the Tills, and I heard all this commotion going on behind me. And my first thought was to shield her, because I thought, okay, it's all kicking off. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something going on. Let's get her out of the picture. And it was actually some guy that was effing and jeffing about leaving his mobile phone on the bus. And I actually said to my daughter, do you know what? I don't actually know what I would do, my first step, if I left a mobile phone on the bus. Mm. So off I went, and that was my inspiration for what to do if you leave the phone on the bus.
Okay.
So it can come from anywhere, you know.
So let's go with a story like that. So what did you do? Go away and research it?
Pretty much, the garages. Yeah, it depends on what bus you left it on, who owns that bus route.
Right.
So that's very important. You report it, it's lost property, you can go into lost property. So yeah, it was interesting, you know, but even just like real life examples like that can just spur a bit of inspiration.
You've got a little notepad, or do you put things in your phone?
No, I do phone.
That's why you couldn't lose your phone, isn't it?
The next edition of our magazine is currently on the bus. It's interesting, isn't it? And it's a little bit like doing the radio show. You know, I get press releases and stories that come across here. And one of the things, and I suspect I'm a little bit like you in that respect, is I have a fascination for why and where and what the story's about. Yeah. So quite often I'll read a story and I go, really? Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And then you find yourself off down a rabbit hole. Trying to find out why someone's done what they've done or what it means or something like that.
And you're thinking of your listeners, thinking what would they find interesting? Yeah. And equally, I'm thinking of my readers, what would they like to read about?
And that's an incredibly good point, isn't it? Because you go...
It's not about you, is it really?
It's not about you. It's about going, if I read this out, they're going to go, well, what's that then? So I ought to have at least some idea of what it is I'm reading out and why I'm reading out. And that seems to be the same for you when you write a story. You write it in as an aid for the people that are reading it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love it. Love it. And coming up with new ideas.
What makes a great story, then? If I just wanted to get myself in the paper or in your magazine, didn't. Now, what would make a great story? What would you be looking for?
I did get a lot of requests, a lot of requests. And incidentally, you know, I know you work well with charities, and we do coverage for the first time at least for, you know, charities for free. And it is a community magazine, you know, at the end of the day, so we do what we can for the community. If you are a business and you are looking to get in the magazine, now, we work a little bit differently because we offer advertisers who advertise for 3 months or longer free editorial. However, if you, you know, that wasn't in your marketing budget and you wanted to get in, I would make it something that, you know, you've seen the magazine cover before. So anything community related, perhaps you've, you know, helped out at charity or donated something, you know, for a good cause, or maybe you've launched a new initiative. It's all relevant and it's all community based. So that would catch my attention, first and foremost. So you've just got to look at the stories in the magazine, see the stories that they cover, and then think, right, okay, how can I, you know, work with it that way? So,
okay. So do you visit things that are going on and kind of rock up and do it? So, for instance,
yeah,
on Friday, this coming Friday, I'm going to an event in Bromley.
Oh, which one?
Yeah, let's talk better.
I am. I'll see you there.
Are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Are you going to interview me and write a story?
Yeah, unfortunately, I missed the last one, but I'm looking forward to this Friday.
Yeah.
I missed that. Let's talk.
Let's talk better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Zeenat Narani and Darren Wheel and some others launched this thing to get people communicating from all kinds of points of view, but yeah, certainly from people that struggle with life to be able to express themselves and talk better. So they launched this Let's Talk Better.
Yeah. And raising money for Casper Autism Charity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's at their cafe, isn't it, in South Street?
Yeah,
the
community
meeting.
House.
So I'm going on Friday. You're going there as well. Cool. Okay. But I want to come back to the magazine, if we can, Loretta. So we know the content. We know the history.
Yes.
Now I want to get down to the logistics and the processes.
Ooh.
Yeah. Is it a monthly magazine?
Yes, so it's a monthly magazine. They both come out. We print 7,000 issues, so in total 14,000 every month.
Right.
That land on my drive.
Wow.
Four massive pallets every month. And
How do you distribute? I'm assuming it's a free magazine.
It's a free magazine, yes. So we go through households and we leave them at pick-up points in and around the borough. They go to all the libraries in the London.
Are you physically doing that yourself?
Yeah.
Plus you must get lots of steps in.
Oh, yeah. I used to do it all by myself when I first launched Orpington. I actually went out on Saturday. It was my husband and I's 17th wedding anniversary, and I was down the distributor. And when you're a small business, you have to step up sometimes.
Absolutely.
And we put the steps in, so we delivered 500 ourselves. But, yeah, it's exercise, isn't it, at the end of the day? But, yes, so I've got a team of distributors.
So you leave them in various pick-up points, like shops and supermarkets and clubs and things like that.
As well as through the doors, through households.
And you put some through doors. Yeah.
The majority go through households. So, for example, let's take Bromley. We've got 7,000 copies, 6,200 through households, 800 at Bromley South Station, the Churchill Theatre, Bromley Picture House, the libraries, etc. You know, you can pick it up.
Takeaways. In the takeaway. You need it in the takeaway.
The nail salons, the hairdressers. That's where I'm using.
And those ones that are delivered through the letterbox, how are they done? Is it through the Royal Mail? Is it through a distribution company?
I have my own distribution team, and they are amazing. Yes.
Yeah.
So, I have a team of about 18 people altogether. Right. I had what I call, they're on a WhatsApp group called Ad Hoc. So they just dip in and out. You know, if someone's on holiday or someone's poorly, then they step up. So, they're good. They're brilliant. It's important, as we all know in business, to build a good team.
But, I mean, what you're doing as well is you're actually helping the local economy as well, because I think that's, you know, it's not just that you're distributing a magazine, you're giving people a means to make some money.
Absolutely, and I think it's so important what you said, because I read, I think it was Visa did a survey, for every £10 spent locally, £3.80 goes into the local economy.
Yeah,
that's what
absolutely.
I'm trying to sort of encourage. You know, if you're shopping local, don't just go to a chain coffee shop, go to your independents, call them.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, yeah, absolutely right, and we talk a lot about localism on this show, because we are great blue. It's a show for small businesses, and that's how small businesses survive, is by being important in their local community. But that's why you tend to get a bit of service from them as well, because they care.
That's it. Yeah,
unlike certain big banks.
Yeah.
Okay, if you don't mind me asking as well, because I'm a business person and I like businesses and all the rest of it, presumably the business model of this is the paid advertising that goes with it.
Yes.
You've already intimated that you've cut out a lot of advertising space so that you can write your stories, and that's great. But, you know, because it's a balance, isn't it?
It is. And I wouldn't enjoy it if it was still adverts. Where's the fun?
And people wouldn't read it.
And they wouldn't read it.
You know, and so that, you know, it's always a balance. Balance, isn't it? And it always has been a balance with newspapers and magazines of any kind. You know, the editorial is why people buy it.
Yes.
The adverts are what pay for it.
Exactly.
You know, you obviously from your advertiser's point of view, you want the readers to look at the adverts. So presumably you dot them through the magazine.
I do. Incorporate them into the articles that I write.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I've just done a piece on carpentry for one of our advertisers you know, how carpentry can make your home look more high-end.
Right.
So written the article on that, did my research and put their name against it. They're happy. So,
right.
Yeah.
I just want to ask you as well, presumably you're selling advertising space. Do you do that as well?
I do some of that. I do have a lovely lady that helps me as well, so
right.
She does the majority. But I think when you're in business, especially a small business like mine, it's still good to keep your finger on the pulse and be involved in, like, for example, every now and then I might do the distribution, but, sales and, you know, just so I know everything that's going on, it's important.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Larissa, thank you for that. It's a fascinating insight into a local magazine in Orpington, Bromley, and soon to be Wolverhampton.
Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. Just before you go, give us a shout out for your website so people can find out more about your magazine.
Amazing, thank you. Yes, so if people can go to www.lifeinmagazines, that's LIFE in magazines.co.uk. And can I just quickly say, I have launched, because they're not currently in the borough of Bromley, which is the largest of the London boroughs, business awards. So I've actually launched business awards, which will they're live now. The website for that is the-abbas, which is abbbas.co.
Oh, three B's.
Oh, yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I like a business award, mate. I just did the Teacher of the Year awards on Friday at the Ashford International. I compare a lot of award things if you're looking for someone. I did the Teacher of the Year. What a fantastic event that was. 50 awards.
Yeah. They should all get awards, to be honest. It's not a job that...
It's what my husband does, I just say, I would never do what... So, props to you. It's amazing.
So, if you're in the London Borough of Bromley, which is in Kent...
The London Borough. They've got red buses, okay?
Still in Kent, no matter what they say. If you're in the London Borough of Bromley in business, look out for the Bromley Business Awards and get your company entered there.
Absolutely.
When's the awards?
Evening, 9th of November.
Okay, so you've got a little bit of time.
But try and get your sparkly frock and your...
Yeah, absolutely.
Three-piece suit.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for the rest of it. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. We're almost at the time to go and join the newsroom, but I want to read a couple more tweets that we got. The lovely Kim Stevens of Caring Kent, she says, good afternoon, hope you're having a terrific day on Tuesday. I would appreciate a Business Bunker shout out, please. Do you or your loved ones need care at home? Are you ready to get help? Give us a call on 01233 619530. That's Kim Stevens from Caring Kent. They do home care in Ashford and I believe Folkestone. What have you got
there? I can say this in my best journalism voice now.
Mm-hmm.
We're calling all artists, designers and makers in Kent and invite them to submit their work to the designers and makers market taking place at Turner Contemporary in Margate on Saturday the 2nd and Sunday the 3rd of December 2023.
Mm.
Now that might seem a long way away, but when you're a designer, maker and artist, you need to get your things all in order.
Absolutely.
So the aim is to provide a platform for Kent-based businesses, designers and makers to showcase their work. The event's now in its sixth year, and it's taking place at one of the county's most significant cultural venues. So to get involved in that, visit cultureinkent.org/events /designers and makers Christmas Market 2023.
Fantastic. And talking about events and awards, Loretta, I've had a tweet from Best Business Events. We're delighted to announce and to thank Dee Airy for sponsoring the Small Business Awards for Awards Kent for business that achieved constant growth. And they say to enter our awards, it's businessawardskent.co.uk. They've got awards in Ashford, Canterbury, Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells.
Amazing.
And I'm hosting all of those.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. But they're all, again, like you, not until the end of the year. Yeah. But
what is that? Why do you, I don't even know.
It's just easier to find frocks, I'm telling you. It's easier to find a sparkly frock in the end of the year. There's another event that's happening in June, which we're almost in. Can you believe that? We're almost in June. So in Tunbridge Wells, you can join us, that's TN Accountancy, on the 15th or every third Thursday. Tunbridge Wells, that's from 10:30 a.m. till 12 noon. And to find out more details, visit kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Look on our calendar.
Fantastic. Thank you. Tenterton Chamber of Commerce have gone, hi Paul, please can you give a shout out to a busy chamber team signing up new members on a daily basis? Well, of course I can. I'm a member of Tenterton Chamber as well. Darren of Intune PR, it's not already asked for one for Let's Talk Better event in Bromley. I think I mentioned that, Darren. You're not listening. No, actually, he tweeted this nearly an hour ago, so you have had at least one shout out, and now you're going to get another one, mate. If you're not already asked for one for the Let's Talk Better event in Bromley this Friday, details can be found at letstalkbetter.org. And he says, thank you for the shout out. You're more than welcome, and I'll see you there, Darren. I will be there. I've got my ticket, I paid for it and everything. Tracy Ferguson, the lovely Tazzy64 on the Twitter says, I'm tuned in live and everything. Hi everyone, enjoying the show on the Business Bunker. Dragon Co-working.
Oh, I happen to know that place.
You happen to know that place, don't you?
I work out there.
Well, they say have a great show.
Thanks. They've got an event on, actually, so we might as well talk about that. Find it. So Dragon Co-working is hosting, I think it's called, I don't want to make it up, something like Medway Business Meetup. Can't find it.
It was in there somewhere, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, here it is, Medway Business Meetup. It is on the 22nd of June, and I was speaking to Roland, the owner of Dragon Co-working, yesterday, and he was like, we've only got about 5 spaces left.
Wow.
And it's not all people from Dragon Co-working, it's people from the community. They've got a couple of speakers. One of them is a lady who set up an estate agent. Beautiful, big, bright pink, bold building. She's done fantastically well. Zoe Cairns, one of our resident social media experts, is going to be there talking about how people can engage with Business in Medway, which is an initiative by the council. It's on 22nd of June from 6 till 8. If you want to get one of the last 5 tickets, well, before now, because I'm going to do mine.
you can't get in just yet
until I finish the show. Then I would say look at dragoncoworking.co.uk, or you can find the details again on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Fantastic. Martin Reeves, Collector Buddy, has said, I'm listening live to the Business Bunker Show today, and it's a lovely day for it. So thank you, Martin. Thank you for joining us. He normally listens on Catch Up. What we got here? We got Jules now. she hasn't actually said very much.
She's too busy eating and drinking, I'm sure.
She's replied to my Do You Want a Shout Out, and she just said yes. Thank you for that, Jules. She's probably still in bed, isn't she? She's probably not up yet after a raucous night last night. Cool, okay. It's probably time where we join the newsroom now, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Gemma. So let's go and hear what the latest news is, and we'll be back with you shortly. Here we go.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.